when the threat of from Germany into Spain receded, then they started to allow the first evacuees back.
Not to Gibraltar. We went not to Gibraltar, okay. To Tangier. You know, because a lot of Gibraltarians had not gone to Madeira, had not gone to the evacuation to England, had come to Spain, or to Tangier, because Tangier was international, right? And so we came in 1943. We came from Madeira to Lisbon to Tangier, so that my father could come and see us. And so, in from 1943 until 1945, I was in Tangier. By then, you see, I was 17, having done my exams, and my mother was the sort of person that didn't like to see me wandering around with boys, so she got me a job in the British consulate. Yeah, and that was interesting.
What job did you do there?
I was, to start with, I was translating...
Sorry, it's okay.
I was translating... they used to send people from Tangier, from Morocco, along North Africa, you know, to find out what was going on, you know, and Arabs mainly.
Yes.
And they would come back.
Like a reconnaissance.
Yeah. They would come back with a French report or their Spanish report, and I had to translate those and send them to the Ministry of Information in England.
And what sort of things would these reports contain?
Do you know, I was trying to think the other day, because the war had kind of stopped, you know, it's just, you know, the, as you know, the Italians and the whole thing. I wish I could remember, but not, to me, it didn't seem there was anything very interesting. But I had to translate what they said from Italian to English, or from French into English, or from Spanish into English. But Italian I don't speak, but I understand. And we used to send that to the Ministry of Information in England.
Okay.
That was my job in
So these were like local businessmen, travellers?
No, 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 they were Moroccans.
Moroccans.
Moroccans kind of spying. They were on the pay of the British government.
Yes.
I mean, they were not spies, but they went there to see what was going on along,
along the coast.
The north
and
coast.
And then they would... come back.
They cut with their reports, and you know, to be perfectly honest, I can't really remember what was the thing. But as I understand Italian, and it came in Italian, in French, and in Spanish, and I translated it and sent it to the Ministry of Information in England, and I was with them, with the British Embassy, and then Gibraltarians were allowed to come back to Gibraltar. But the British consul asked my mother if I could stay on.
And what did she think about that?
I think my mother was sort of... No, she's a wonderful person, very clever. Mm. You know, she died at the age of 100 and a half and was still playing the piano and thing. But anything to do with politics and that sort of thing, forget it.
Yeah.
The consul asked Mummy, and I wanted to stay. And we lived in a hotel, in the Continental Hotel, so there's no question of flats or anything like that. And I stayed.
Okay.
They came back, I think it was in March, and I eventually went back in August.
Okay.
The war hadn't finished then.
Mm. So you were still only 18, weren't you?
I was 17. When did... 17 to 18, I really honestly do not know. I do not know how on earth I did these things. I wish I did.
No. So you
all I know is I was having fun.
Yes, yes. And was life not good in that 10 years?
Life good? Oh, yes, yes, yes. It was very international.
Yeah.
Aha, another one, yes. You know, we were at war with Italy, but Tangier had a lot of Italians living there.
Yeah.
A lot of Gibraltarian girls, a lot of Gibraltarian things. And... there used to be a cinema called the Mauritania Cinema. Well, you know, my boyfriend was Italian, but, you know...
Okay.
Well, you know my boyfriend, you know. And so we used to go there. But for some unwritten law, the Germans and the Italians would sit on the left aisle of the cinema and the Allies on the right. So we would go hand in hand, and say, bye, you go there and I'd come here. When Hitler came out, they'd cheer and we'd boo, and when Churchill came out, they'd boo and we'd cheer, and then we went home.
But it's a really funny coexistence, isn't it?
It's very difficult for me, especially from my time in Tangier with this French Vichy woman who put us up the night before we went. Her husband came back from concentration camp in Tangier with the Italians. You know, they were fascists. It was the school, they had to do that. It was very difficult to... And I expect it is very difficult in other places where they had communities living to say, I hate you because you're Italian, or I hate you because you're English.
Did the British embassy staff know that you had an Italian boyfriend?
Oh, yes. I mean, my job was to translate what the spies used to go in there to do from either French, Italian or Spanish into English and send it to the Ministry of Information.
In August, then, you returned to Gibraltar.
I think it... wait a minute. When did the war finish? When did the war finish?
45.
In the summer? No, it was in Gibraltar. I was in Gibraltar when it finished,
Yes.
No, there was still a war on. When I was... I came back to Gibraltar, I think it was 44.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, 44.
Because
I got bored and I heard my girlfriend saying that there were a lot of officers in Gibraltar, a lot of dancers and things like that. So I thought, well, I'm fed up with this place. And I came back.
Yeah. And how did you... What was your... After 10 years, after being in Casablanca, which was nice, Madeira, which was nice, and also now 10 years, how did you find returning to Gibraltar? What was your first impressions of Gibraltar? Can you remember?
It was very small.
Mm.
The streets were very small.
Mm.
Okay.
Were you disappointed to go back? Did you want to go back?
Well, I stayed much longer than when my parents, when my mother went back. But then I heard about all these officers and dancers and God knows what. I said, what am I missing?
Yeah.
So I went back and, this is eventually how, I remember meeting RAF people and inviting them to tea at home, in those days.
And you still had your family home?
My
family. Your father would have been living in there during the war.
Yes, I had a family home.
Because many families had problems getting their original houses back, didn't they?
That I don't know, but it's possible. Yeah. Ours was a place. It was a flat and it was ours, and my father had lived there all during the war, so there was no question.
Had your brothers been with you all this time?
My brothers were... one brother's 4 years younger than me and the other 6 years younger than me. Yes, they were with me. I probably... they suffered from me bossing them because, as I say, there's a gap of 4 years.
So you stayed together as a family?
Oh, yes, with my mother.
The
main thing, my mother was a very, very clever woman. I mean, she died when she was 100 and a half. She would walk to the Garrison Library where we gave her this party. She was a great musician. She was a very good cook. She was a very good mother. But she's never had a chance to know anything about politics or... in those days you didn't. I mean, she had a beautiful childhood. And
when you returned, did you fall back into... Can you remember back into the community?
Communities
forming up and all your old friends?
Yeah, friends and things. But, I mean, there were so many men. There were so many parties. One party after the other. We had... My conscience told me that I had to do some kind of a war job, So I chose to do the hospital. I think this is the man that changed my life. There was the last American liberty ship to be sunk at the end of the war. What was a ship called, anyhow, I've got it written down there. Anyhow, the captain was a guy called Charles Spear, a very rich young, he was 26 then, but very rich young man from the Boston area, you know, and you've heard about Boston. But he ended up with a kind of a jaundice, funny disease, not contagious, at the hospital in Gibraltar. So when I was in Gibraltar, you felt you had to do something.
Yes, yeah.
And the one that I thought I'd do was the hospital. And of course, I came across this man.
Yeah.
He was ex-Harvard University, you know, and he was 26 when his ship was the last one to be sunk in the Straits. So he was my person to visit in the hospital. When, of course, I think he, apart from everything else I'd had in my life, I mean, you know, I was 16 or 17, I think, and he was about 26. Very educated person from, you know, that part.
And you were doing like a welfare.
I had to go and visit him every day, every day. And he changed my life completely.
In what way, Marilyn?
Made me think intellectually. Because up to then I'd been, in Spain they say cabra loca, mad cow, right? You know, sort of
having fun.
Flitted from one thing from the other. But he made me think.
Mm.
And I mean, I used to go and visit him every day from 6 o'clock to 7. Every day for months. And he'd contacted something, you know, when his ship was sank, the last ship to be sank in the Straits. But as I say, he was Harvard.
You talked a lot together. Yeah.
What do you do? You just talk.
Yeah.
Because when you went for 3 or 4 hours every day.
Did you ever have a urge to go and work or live in the States? Because obviously
he related a lot about life
in America.
Yeah, not in the States, but my main thing was to go to England. It was there. And
did it help you? Was this part of the makeup where you want you? Because you ended up becoming an air hostess, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But no. What he did was, if my father had spent a fortune on a private teacher, to actually, talking to him was like having been to university.
Yes.
I can only describe it that way, because he was an intellectual.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. He was a good man. Very good man.
Mm-hmm.
Because even after 6 months of seeing him in hospital, then he got out of hospital and he went back to the ship and he invited me over. You know, and he from Boston. People from Boston. Very good family from Boston. They like sailing a lot. You know. So
did you keep in touch with him after?
Well, when he left hospital, he went to his ship for a while, and I used to go out there, and he taught me how to sail. You know, he was a great sailor and a real gentleman. Never touched me, never did. You know, he really was a real gentleman.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, he went back, and that was that. I kept kind of in touch with him.